Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning. Top of the hour. Yeah, we got a little delayed there. Listen, that's the fun thing about our show.
How about
there's
that?
There's an ebb and flow to it. You never really know what time they're going to come on, but they're going to come on here. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody in Doraville.
Doraville.
Up 85.
All right.
Right there,
at the end of the martyr line.
Is it really? I thought that was farther outside the perimeter.
Is that outside the perimeter? What do you say?
You know, I mean, no. Well, okay, close to, because I go right there, top of the perimeter, where the king and queen building. You're talking over me.
Then. Okay.
Top of the perimeter, where the king and queen building is. Yeah. That railroad, if you go up like to Abernathy, they're still there. That's top. Yeah. That's outside the perimeter.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
That's all I was saying. You know.
In the county, Fulton County.
Yes. But yes.
Going up Doraville, you go upside the perimeter. You're in Gwinnett County. Folks get, folks get a little excited about
Well, I ain't worried about them. It's just me and you in this room. I don't know who's getting excited. I can't see this. It's the unknown that I can't control.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm having one of those mornings where I feel a certain kind of way, but I absolutely did the right thing.
Okay. All right.
And that is I went to bed. Because I knew I had to have a show this morning.
Yeah.
And I went to bed aggravated.
Yeah.
Because it was like halftime of that game last night.
Yeah.
Where I was watching all my folks eating Italian sausages and bratwurst there and all that.
They were freezing. They were freezing to death.
They were freezing. They were cold, but it was cold in the first half when you're losing. When you're winning, it ain't so cold.
I guess.
But that comeback that they achieved, meaning the Bears, I didn't see it.
Okay.
And that's fine because I have specifically not put myself in the position to, because I'm pretty superstitious when it comes to this stuff, right? This is the baseball player. I mean, you wear the same whatever as long as you're on the streak. So I've not seen any of the big comebacks that they've had this year. I've missed them. Watched a bunch of the games, but I've just missed those couple big comebacks. And I said, well, they're aggravating me tonight. Packers are going to win this thing. Caleb's got to go through what Jordan Love went through, and he'll get tested, and he'll be better moving forward, right? And then they come back and win. So, I'm feeling a certain kind of way this morning that I didn't see it live. But if they'd lost that game and I'd have stayed up till dark 30, coming in here this morning, it wouldn't have been a very, very good show. Or you'd have heard
about it. You would have heard more about it. You know more about it, though. That's all. But they pulled it out.
They did. They pulled both games yesterday.
Yeah.
Both of those games.
How about that, right?
They kept you on the edge.
That's what you want at playoff time.
How come Oregon didn't give us that versus
that's
Indiana?
College is different. Indiana's a different animal. I saw them in person. After seeing them in person, Indiana is for real. Indiana
is
a different animal. And you know what? And it's kind of fitting that they will come to Atlanta and play. They came to SEC territory and showed that this year, they are the best team, best college football team. I know Miami folks won't want to see returning to you and all that. Ah, that's nice. Indiana's the best team in the nation. And they showed it. You know the telling thing, and I mentioned it on the air Friday night. If you're at a football game that's televised, mm-hmm, there's that person that stands on the sideline after you score a touchdown that steps out on the field and says, TV timeout. Mm-hmm. We call them a red hat. Usually they have a red cap on the sideline. And whenever there's a timeout, you know, of a punt or a kickoff or whatever, TV timeout, the red cap steps on the field and we start selling cars or hamburgers or insurance or whatever we're selling, right?
Okay.
Indiana scored so fast, the red cap stepped out there and said, keep going. Keep going. We got a lot of commercials, but we don't have that many. And I mean, and you just knew it was on, man. That's my lasting memory from Friday night. Everything else we saw, Indiana did what they did on the field. But to see that red cap step off there just seconds into the game and says, I ain't got no commercials.
Nope.
Y'all keep playing. They scored that fast.
And here's the other thing, too. I don't know if you found yourself doing this. I did it. So you were down there?
Yeah.
Okay, but watching on TV and watching how Indiana played, there were times during that game where I literally had to stop and remind myself, this ain't Alabama because of the uniforms.
Yeah.
Okay. It literally, the way they were doing, I wasn't used to seeing Indiana. And then I went, Hang on a second. No, that's not Alabama. That's Indiana. That's Indiana. But I did it a couple times because I saw all that red in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I immediately thought.
They had little pockets of green. I mean, the folks from Indiana. And I'm curious to see how they carry it forward into Miami. They will, because they've never been there before. They're from Indiana. They're used to that, man.
They've
never been there before.
No.
But you know, a telling thing, and shout out to Leandra Head. She's a reporter with CBS Atlanta. She did something with fans, and she was interviewing someone, and she asked him about coming to Atlanta and then moving on. Says, well, we've been following the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's their mentality, because that's where they've been, right?
Yep.
And which it is a tournament format, but just to hear someone that you know from a school with basketball refer to what they're seeing
as a tournament,
right?
The home of that, you know, tournament and combine, everything Indiana smacks of college. You know, that level. Not professional, even though Peyton was there and did what he did.
Or what college has been.
Mm-hmm.
I know what college is now.
Well, that's true.
Because, I mean, I saw somebody walking on the field. I sent you a picture of somebody. I said, I wonder how they get all these guys to come to Indiana and whatnot. And then I saw him walk out onto the field.
You talking about Mark Cuban? He's not even the top of the food chain there, apparently, as far as donors.
Yeah.
We got that broken down, too. See, we're learning a lot about Indiana now that they've made it to that level. There's a whole lot of folks you never heard of before that are above Mark Cuban as far as their contributions.
Yeah.
He's there. He's the most visible, obviously. But here's the thing about Mark Cuban, and you sent me that picture. Did you notice what he was wearing? And what it's sort of akin to what you just mentioned when you talk about that state and what their connection is to collegiate sports and basketball. He had just top of the line, whatever that Indiana pullover thing what he was wearing. It was nice. It was very nice, right?
Yeah.
And had Indiana on front. Had a patch. Did you notice the patch that he had on it?
No.
This is why Indiana's got to do more, because the patch on his top paid tribute to the 76 undefeated team. I'm not kidding you. He's in that football playoff game.
Right.
And the only thing they got as far as puffing their chest out about, if it's not Peyton Manning or something they did, it was about they have still the only undefeated college basketball season.
Well, Peyton Manning played for the pro team.
Right. No, I'm saying as far as that state and what else do you hear about Indiana? It's either basketball or on a pro level, it's Peyton and what he did with
them. Well, now they got a basketball team with Caitlin Clark on it.
Well, until they do something.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still right. She's still third. She's still third on the list. But it was. I noticed that. And it was a nice patch. How many of them dudes can you name? Because I felt I had a senior moment when I saw the patch and I went, hang on,
you still name
him? Kent Benson.
Kent Benson.
Bobby Quinn Wilkerson. Buckner.
Bobby
Quinn
Wilkerson.
Buckner.
Bobby Wilkerson.
Bobby Wilkerson. We got three of them.
Oh, wow. Well,
Coach Knight. I can't think of nobody else.
Yeah, that's about. Oh, Scott May.
Oh, how could I forget Scott May? He played for the Bulls for a minute.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9.
We know a little Indiana.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
And then the old partner in crime, Fred Khalil, showed up. Of course, he's Mr. Indiana.
Shout out to Fred.
Yeah, Fred came in from Arizona and got down on the field there and talked with Gary Stokin. Gary Stokin, friend of the show, came on last week.
Yes, he did.
Presided over his last Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and he didn't have any cards to hand out to anybody.
He said he ain't got none no more. I don't want, you know.
That's hard to believe.
Kind of like the good humor, man. Don't come to me no more. I sold him a truck. again, Sam. Well, listen, I have a very special, not just story of the week, but something I'm going to do during this show. I decided this past week that I'm going to incorporate something that will be laced throughout the show, whether you like it or not. If you want to participate, cool. If you don't want to, that's fine. This is going to be me, so this ship will either sink or sail smoothly across this show. Noel, if you please.
It's time for Sam and Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
Tell me when, because I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
When the sounder's over.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, because I can't hear it. I still can't
really?
Hear
anything.
No, I can't hear a thing.
I'm good. I don't know what's...
Okay, well, you tell me.
Okay.
All right, are you ready for this?
I'm hearing you fine.
This is my story of the week.
Right away.
Did you know, and everybody out there knows of this, and I thought, I want to throw a curveball to our audience. We are in Girl Scout cooking. I'm here. We're getting close to it.
Okay.
There is a brand new Girl Scout cookie.
Okay.
Man, that's like a big deal. Come on. And everybody has their favorite Girl Scout cookies. So this morning, you are going to hear things that you never thought of hearing about when it comes to the Girl Scouts. Because you can't tell the history of this country without mentioning the Girl Scouts.
Absolutely not.
All right? So I think they get their due. I don't think we've ever given them their due. So are you ready for this? Do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie? And if you don't, think about it for a second. But the Girl Scouts have introduced a new cookie.
Okay.
And it's called, I'm maybe saying this wrong, but Explorer Mores. Like s'mores.
Okay.
Explorer Mores.
Okay.
And sandwich cookie, chocolate, marshmallow, and almond-flavored cream.
Whoa.
Explorer Mores. That is a new Girl Scout cookie. That's my story of the week. And if I had to make my order, I don't know that I'd get those. I'm sure they're wonderful. I got two that I like. Do-si-dos are my favorites.
Do-si-dos?
Do-si-dos. They're the peanut butter sandwich cookie.
I like the shortbreads.
Well, you know the name of them?
Oh, I forget the name of them. Those ones I get. Those are pretty good.
I can lemon, snack. Lemon ups, lemonade.
I can just snack away on those things.
And also the peanut butter patties. I like them, too. So, I don't know if Noelle has a favorite. He has been helping us out. They just scared the you-know-what out of me. All right, we're having technical problems. Yeah. I didn't know. She's been very stealth-like this morning.
Man, I'm telling you.
And
just all of a sudden,
I could feel somebody around the corner from me, and she's trying to help me. No, that's okay, Noel. Don't worry about it, because I got another plug there. Sam, talk for a minute.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mention something that I experienced, that I had to experience, that was special for our game in town this week, talking about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. They had something special done at Molly B's. It was the dueling brisket sandwich. Dueling brisket sandwich. It was a 2-foot-long brisket sandwich with toppings on one side for Indiana and tops on the other side for Oregon. The Indiana side has crispy onions, pickles, brown sugar, barbecue sauce. The other half for Oregon had coleslaw, pickled onions, Kerry bourbon barbecue sauce. It was the dueling brisket sandwich, and they surrounded it in a big box with barbecue chips for $35. I got one of these things, and I showed it on the air Friday night.
Yeah?
It's massive.
Okay.
But I shared it with my photographers, guys, and everybody agreed it was pretty good. It didn't take them long to fix it either. I guess they figured a lot of people were going to want it. So you went to Molly B's. Matter of fact, somebody kind of, I appreciate the person who skipped me in line. Of business. We'll get you up front. You can get one. And so it took them about 5 minutes to put it together, and that was amazing. So I had a chance to taste of the Peach Bowl, something special they had.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I know we're still going to be loyal to the brisket at Bucky's, but this was a 2-foot-long brisket sandwich.
Okay. I haven't been back to that place in a minute, so I don't know what they got up there. You going to tell me your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Oh, well, you did. You said the shortbread, though. But I can't find the shortbread.
Oh, trifolds, trifolds.
Oh, okay. You give me a name here. Let me look and see here. Noel, if you got a second, come on here and tell everybody. We got Thin Mints, Toffee, Tastic. That's gluten-free. Trifolds. There you go. Iconic shortbread cookies inspired by the original Girl Scout recipe.
That's it.
That's yours, huh?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey!
I think if I went out to the grocery store and stopped at a Girl Scout table, I think my eyes would go towards the Thin Mints first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
Your first. That'll be right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Give me the green box.
They do come in the green box. Remember that.
And before we get into, because coming up, we got Terrell Thomas. This dude's going to be at the airport. You know that. He might be at the airport. He might be going up there to see them Phillies. I mean, those Eagles.
You think so?
Maybe. I'm not sure. We're going to talk to Terrell, though, either way. JR from JR Sports. We have not had JR on forever. And JR, and listen, it's not just one topic we talk to JR about.
Oh, yeah, we can go all over the place.
So we're gonna talk to JR about
fasten
a number
your seat
of things.
Belt.
Of course, JR Sports brief on 6 until 10. Going to hear Tim Scarborough will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour talking college basketball. Joe Patrick talking all things Falcons and NFL. Obviously, we'll get into him and what's going on. Coaching changes and executive moves and Matt Ryan. And speaking of Matt Ryan, yesterday our own David Archer sat down here and talked about that hire And we are going to replay that for you coming up at 9 o'clock straight. I've got a radio replay with David Archer talking about Falcons change and their new president of football operations. That is all coming up. I can hear now, so I feel like I'm a part of the show. Let's get this thing moving. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning, the 11th day of January, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 11th day of January. First of all, be a part of your Sunday mornings, your weekend mornings. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. January is here. We are in it. We're in Girl Scout season, which we will get back to, and I'll tell you why. That's going to be a theme throughout the show. But we came back here. Noel threw on some Grateful Dead. And if you've not heard the news, founding member of the Dead, Bob Weir, passed away. Got the news. I saw that this morning for the first time. Were you any kind, Sam, of a Grateful Dead fan?
Not really.
Okay. And that's fine. Neither was I. I did the stuff that came out in the 80s when I was, you know, up the street working, had an appreciation for. But they are one of those bands.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of those artists, much like Swift. I mean, Swifties are the latest. These dudes were the first to have that kind of following.
Yeah.
That people would fight you if you said something bad about. Well, actually, they're from San Francisco, so they're pretty passive. But they would eat through tree bark to tell you that the best music there is was produced by Jerry Garcia, Bob Weir, and the Grateful Dead. And the people that are their fan base, that make up their fan base, that are part of the sports world, are just as passionate about them. But listen, rest in peace. We all know that you couldn't get any sort of game call in total from Bill Walton without hearing some Grateful Dead references.
How about that, right?
You know what I mean? It was ever present. So throughout the morning, we're going to play some Dead. And because, like I said, there's a group of people, big group of people, that are feeling a certain kind of way this morning. But we got a guest that's going to join us who's a family member, friend of the show, and he's feeling a certain kind of way this weekend because his team, his football team, are still active.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't
know. I had a chance to see him this week.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out right now. But we welcome on Terrell Thomas, these Urban Times, Daddy, Selah, and Mello, and Kobe. How you doing this morning, man?
Good morning. I'm doing well. I am doing well. I know you're jazzy after last night's performance by the Bears, so hopefully we're in the same boat. No, come 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, then if you're like me, you will go to bed at halftime because the Eagles are aggravating you. Because that's what I did. I did, man. I sat there and I watched. Listen, I figured that Caleb Williams in his ascent is going to have some hurdles. And much like that dude who was on the other side of the line there, we've seen Jordan Love go through it. And it has been heartbreaking for those Packer fans. And we've seen it with every team that has ascended there. There are a few that have bypassed that, but there's usually some growing pains. And I figured this dude, the way he's been slinging it and taking, making these sophomore mistakes, it's aggravating. So I thought it wasn't going to happen. And between Ben Johnson and intestinal fortitude, they got it done. So I'm happy for them. But I would have hated to have to come in here after a loss this morning. So I hope you don't have to be.
I can understand that.
Would not have been.
I can understand that.
It would not have been good. But in the meantime, man, listen, we can talk football aside. Toss it over here for a little bit because we want to get your thoughts on. Sam and I have not had a chance to talk about some of the movement and some of the things that have been happening here locally. Sometimes we're the first, sometimes we're the last. And we haven't had a chance to get thoughts of the people who join us and us talking about what's going on with this Hawks team right now. And Trey.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been a busy week for the Hawks. It has certainly been a busy week. And ironically, I saw Sam the other night right before things kind of, you know, got shaken up in State Farm Arena as the Hawks were taking on the Pelicans. And we've had some rumors over the years, and we've talked before about what would this team possibly look like without Trae Young. But it's one of those things that I felt like, you know, we talk about it, we give it some life, we entertain it, but it would never happen. I thought Trae Young was going to be an Atlanta Hawk for life. And obviously now that is not the situation. And I'm trying to find, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, find the silver lining in it all. It still doesn't make complete sense to me, but it seems like it's something that both sides wanted to get done. So I was initially in utter shock. I just couldn't believe that Trey was traded. And then, of all places, I thought if we ever did see Trey traded, it would be to a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. So for it to be the Washington Wizards, there's a lot of components that still don't make sense to me. But here we are. It's a new day in Atlanta, and the Hawks have an opportunity to rebuild. To me, they're kind of in rebuild mode. So we'll see, you know, how things pivot from here on out.
Yeah, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Terrell Thomas. Always great to catch up with him. And he is social. You can always find him at Eldorado 2452. I agree with you. It's rare that you get to see it happen in real time. You know what I mean? We're sitting there watching the game. We see Trey walk out and his khakis in his shirt. We know he's not going to play. And we hear this thing is going to happen any day. But for it to take place while the game is going on.
Okay, can I stop you two real quick here? Because you were there for that, yeah, as you describe it. What was it like as far as the fans once they got their mind around what just really happened in front of them?
I don't know how much of them really knew what was happening at the time. Some who may have been like on their social media or something applauded for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like people heard something and they stopped the game.
No, you know, but I mean,
social media, maybe there was a little murmur going through the crowd. And some people applauded. Some people knew what was happening, but some people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a thing where everybody knew. So that's the other thing about it happening in real time. I don't know, Terrell, I don't know what your take was on it. But it became apparent he was shaking hands with people. I thought the folks who were doing the television broadcast did a good job of capturing his exit, just walking through that hall alone. At the end, and you hear the buzzer go off as the game's over, and he's walking down this hallway with Atlanta
very
Hawks.
Very cinematic.
Very, 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 in the way it was captured. But Terrell, I'm with you in thinking that he was going to be here. And the thing of it is, we have precious and few guys like him come to play, especially for the Hawks. I'm talking about guys that people in other cities would buy tickets to see, right? You know, we rarely get that guy. That guy always plays for somebody else. And so that's the thing I think we had with Trey, that personality that people in other cities would turn out to see.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. And that's why it was such a shocking move to me, because he is one of those few. When we think about all the teams in the NBA, not every team has a player like that. And I think that's someone that Trey Young became over the years. That's who he was in college during his stint at Oklahoma. He was a showstopper. He was an entertainer. And the Hawks still have talent on their roster. I'll give them that. But I don't believe they have that figure, the figure of a Trey Young. So, again, very shocking move. But I do agree with you on what you said. It was one of those things where you just started to hear mutter and mumbles of, is this real? Is it real? And people looking at their phones. And then over time, you know, within, I would say, a 15-minute span, folks realize, hey, Trey's been traded, but he's still sitting on the bench. What's going on here?
So you guys give me your equivalent, if you've thought about this over the last couple of days, of the equivalent player that's been traded at this point, going over and then changing his game. I was trying to think of somebody, again, point guard, like, I don't, you know, Chris Paul popped to mind, but he's bounced around so many places.
Terrell, I'm going to let you go because I got one that's really connected to the city, but go ahead.
You know, I don't want to give a poor comparison, but to me, quite honestly, we saw the move recently. It really, really reminded me of the guy he's going to be compared to from here on out, and Luka Doncic, just because I thought that at the time, Luka was an untradeable figure in Dallas, and it was kind of one of those things, shockwaves, and I believe in much of the NBA, you know, we did get a heads up that the Hawks and Trey Young were working on a trade. I think that was surprising in itself. But to actually see it happen, it was one of those to me like, wow, this you know, this seems very airy. We just watched this a few months ago in Dallas. So I would say from an immediate impact and more recent, it reminded me a whole lot of the Luka trade.
I'm going to go back even farther than for the Hawks. Trey Young is a modern-day Pete Maravich.
Ooh!
Pete Maravich came to this city with the promise of being this flashy, show-stopping guy that people are going to, this crowd-pleaser. This guy that everybody in this part of the country knew because he went to LSU, had played his college ball in the SEC, and the Hawks never could get the proper talent around him to elevate this team and make it a consistent contender. He is exactly, to me, that is who Trey Young is. He is the new Pete
really?
Maravich. But yes, But and you think about Maravich.
Yeah, but he didn't play all these years here, though.
He played four years here, and when he left here, his last season here, he averaged like 27 points a game.
Okay.
And he goes out to the Jazz, right? And he doesn't really get to go to fruition with them. He sets the stage out there for Stockton and Malone.
Right.
When he goes to play for the Jazz, right?
That's right, because they went to Utah.
Okay. So, I mean, but that's exactly what Trey was, this guy that came with his great promise and showed us flashes of what could have been and made us really believe that. Crowd pleaser, sold merch, sold tickets. Like I said, the only thing, the story I love to tell about the fact that Julius Erving wanted to come here to play with him and they wouldn't allow it, and that would have just changed the whole trajectory of pro sports in this town. But to me, Trae Young came to this town with a lot of promise, caused a lot of excitement, a lot of sizzle. It became a place to see and be seen. And we want to see if the team, how they maintain that.
I think because of what he did up in New York, that got the country's attention.
That made us endear to him. Oh, this is our guy.
Yeah,
he's going to go
up
there and give it to the New Yorkers. Oh, yeah, he's our dude, right?
I just feel like
he's our dude.
Yeah, I just feel like, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but the reason this happened, he just never got the proper running mate. We couldn't get the proper running mate to be
with
him.
Same thing for Maravich. I mean, Hudson was here, and they would put a lot of points on the board between he and Sweet Lou, but they needed something else in order to continue. Remember, they were in the West in those days,
right,
and they had to get past first Wilt, then Kareem, which they couldn't do. So, I mean, they never were able to get that other talent around Maravich when he was here, and the same thing has happened with Trey.
The one for me is, and it's not like that, and I agree with you on that one, but the one that kept popping to my mind in association with this kind of trade was Adrian Dantley being shipped out of Detroit. And he was that player. He was Trey for that Pistons team, but he couldn't get along with Isaiah. And they made a decision that this was going to be Isaiah's team. And they shipped Dantley off.
Right.
Again, there's a number of different associations. That one's the one that stuck with me, though, because it was very public the way they did it. And much like Maravich, much like Trey, Isaiah was this dude coming out of college.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Played for Bobby Knight, got the chip, and all of that. So, anyway, Trey, Terrell Thomas, these Urban Times, joining us here. It's like, you know, you're not really a guest on this show. We're all, like, sitting out on the back porch. So we're talking over him.
With a couple of mason jars with sweet tea.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here, man. Go ahead. Jump in here, Trey. Terrell, jump in here.
So what goes forward? We know who's come to this team. And what goes forward, because for one of these players, this road trip will take him back to where his career began, talking about McCollum.
Yeah, I think it's just a whole bunch of right now of uncertainty in the Hawks front office. And I want to assume and have belief that they have a strategy and they know what they're doing. But as of right now, I'm kind of confused on it. I believe they've given the keys to Jalen Johnson, that this is his team now. And they're going to build around him. I do believe that he has potential, superstar potential there, certainly all-star potential. But will he sell tickets? Will he be the showstopper like Trae Young? I don't know. I don't know if they're done making moves. You know, do they make a call to Memphis and inquire and see what's going on with Ja Morant?
Yeah, they did.
We do know they'll have a potentially high pick as far as the Pelican pick going to next season. And now with Trae Young not on the books, they'll have some money. So they'll have some cap space, and they'll have some funds to actually make some moves this upcoming summer. So I'm kind of confused to see, is this one of those, okay, we'll concede for now, we'll stay relevant, we'll compete, but now we're putting all our chips on the table for next summer with the draft and free agency, or are they going to make a move to continue to try to build around Jalen Johnson, Nikhil Alexander Walker, Dyson Daniels, and let the young guys, really take the reins of things. So I'm waiting and I'm anxious to see just exactly what the Hawks front office has in store.
Yeah. All right, man. He's got to go. He's got to catch a flight,
we
got a break. And I promise you next time that you will talk more. But, you like family. There's like you, Adam Alexander. There's a few people we have on regularly where you're not really guests.
Karen Pistana. We get to talk to our Australian Open start next week.
Yeah, y'all are like family. Like Sam said, there's a mason jar up here. We just sitting here sipping. So travel safely. Good luck to your team until they played up, the Monsters of the Midway. And we will talk to you next week, partner.
Much love, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. Talk to you guys soon.
There you go. That is Terrell Thomas. All right, coming up, as we got lots of tributes going on this morning. We're a tribute, rest in peace, Bob Weir, Grateful Dead, doing a tribute to the Girl Scouts. It's their time of year. But I have got, Sam, I don't know if you heard last week, there was this stat floating around. A lot of people were talking about it, and I'm going to share it with you and the audience. So if you've heard it, forgive me. But I thought this was one of the greatest stats I had ever heard before. So that is coming up next. And we're also going to do a deep dive into what's going on with these Falcons, too. It is Sam and Greg. Noel's on the other side of the glass coming up. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to go into Noel's world. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Y'all should see Noel dancing back there. Matter of fact, you should see Sam over here dancing. I'd play this whole song if we weren't behind, but I got to jump in here. We got to get back. I got to get Noel back on track. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It is the 11th day of January.
And the sun's actually out.
Happy, happy birthday to Mary J. Blige.
All right now.
So there you go. That's what we're doing there. We're doing it for her. Also, again, this is sort of a tribute morning to all you Grateful Dead fans out there feeling a certain kind of way this morning, the loss of Bob Weir. Also, going to tout the attributes of the Girl Scouts. We are in Girl Scout season. You didn't expect to have a Girl Scout show or mention on this show this morning when you woke up, but you're going to get that this morning. They got a new cookie. That's the story of the week. But I want to give you something. I don't know if y'all heard this past week. Okay. So a lot of people have, and so forgive me if you've already heard this. Mm-hmm. But I had not heard this. So, and, oh, I should have pulled this up a second ago. I heard this stat, and I said, I can't wait to tell Sam this. So, there is a current NFL coach, head coach. There is a current NFL head coach, Sam.
Yeah.
That when he played, he ran for more yards than Bo Jackson. Had you ever heard that before? There is a current NFL head coach that when he played, he ran for more yards than Bo Jackson. You want to take a guess at that, Darren?
Which one would it be?
Oh, you giving up on that?
Yeah, which one?
Okay, I was trying to find the total stat here. It's Jim Harbaugh. It was Jim Harbaugh. Now, here's the thing you got to think about.
Okay.
See, people forget Bo only played how many years? He only played just 4 years barely.
Yeah.
And then got injured.
In the league. Yeah.
Harbaugh played 13-some years, right? For some teams that weren't that well. Played for the Bears. Played for, obviously, the Colts before Peyton got there. And then played for the Chargers. He was on scout team for a couple teams. But here's the thing. Bo ran for 2,780-some yards. Harbaugh ran for 5 yards more.
Well, there you go. Well, he was around longer.
There is your stat of the day.
And he was doing it because he had to.
Yeah, exactly.
And the teams
exactly.
That he was playing
but
on,
then,
right?
You know, he was that quarterback who they did run plays for. You know, Bears, they was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, run here, run there. And so, yeah, he ran a lot. But I heard this past week and I went, what? No, there's no way. And then I saw footage where they asked other NFL coaches, and none of them got it. By the way, including his brother.
Whoa.
John Harbaugh did know that stat, that he ran more than Bo Jackson.
Ironic you would mention him.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, you guys go win some money on that today. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. You had said
something. When we left, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you brought up something. When we were talking about the Hawks last time, we're going to get into the Falcons, but you brought up something that I think a lot of people would want to participate in, and we're going to do it later on in the show. But you brought up, who's going to benefit by this trade?
Well, not benefit, and you're talking about Trae Young.
Yes.
Trae Young's departure, who would emerge is what we're talking about. Is there someone on this team that will emerge and blossom and flourish because of that? And it could be a player like Zach Richardson. Well, it could be a number of players on this team who've been standing back and deferring to him, and rather than taking their shots or doing more of what they could do. So I'm interested to see what we see in the next few weeks with this team, who takes that step and does a little bit more than we've been seeing them do. Naturally, they're going to do more, but with a level of comfort and confidence with his departure. And I compare it, and Noel kind of echoed the sentiment, when Michael Vick departed, Roddy White blossomed and became this all-time great team receiver with a lot of the records before Julio Jones came and took some of those records away. But he like blossomed. Sometimes a player can be so enamored or defer to this player who is this magnetic, you know, presence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it goes in a different direction. And I just think let's watch and see what happens with this Hawks team with the departure of Trey, who is going to step in and really blossom more. We've already seen, you know, Jalen Johnson doing some stuff. He's doing his thing anyway. But who else on that team is really going to step out now and going to do more and emerge and be more consistent? I think that's what we're talking. This team is not as far away from being a competitive team, not playing at the top of the East. But remember who's missing playing for these teams in the East. This team can still be one of the top eight, you know, to me in that.
Well, they went out there and met a Denver team. This is a good time to meet them because they ain't, you know, they're limping
right now.
Into 2026.
They got Golden State next. They're going to see a Lakers team that's not 100%. They're going to go up to Portland. They got a chance. Then they're coming back home for King Holiday weekend. So let's watch and see what happens over the next, you know, few weeks with this team and with the infusion of the new players that we know they have. And then watch and see if any more moves are made.
All right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let me give it to you exactly. Bo Jackson ran for 2,782 yards, which means Jim Harbaugh ran for 2,787.
Yeah.
I love that stat. Speaking of football, all right. Now, and we're going to be right at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, going to replay interview with David Archer, who came on the station yesterday, talking about Matt Ryan being appointed to president of football operations for Atlanta.
Let's go back to when we left. When last we spoke with you, you know, the Falcons were getting set to play the Saints. Final game of the season.
Yep.
And if they win, they could win, you know, end the season in a three-way tie at the top of the division with the same record and on a four-game winning streak. And we say, that's a little, you know, silver lining here. We're not going to the playoffs, but, you know, and I went to the game last Sunday, and I leave the game with most of the people, I think, feeling, no, we're not going to the playoffs. At least we beat the Saints, and we leave it. We're going on a positive note. And we figured the coach was safe.
We walked around with our heads in the sand. You know? We all did. No, we all did. Because we all knew that weeks ago there was a committee that was hired by this Falcons team to look into make some changes. And when you hire somebody like that, you know some changes are going to be made. So we just decided that the changes are going to be above the head coach position, correct? Is that where you were at?
No. I'm thinking, you know,
what were you thinking?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking that maybe Morris had done enough to save his job, but looking back on the fact, I think he was basically told when the team was out of playoff contention. I think he was basically told then.
Okay, but that all
I
right.
Think he was told in the offseason, Sam. I think they knew that if they didn't make the playoffs, that they were kind of on the chopping block. So to your point, I think Will started turning once we started getting those Falcons are eliminated from playoff contention.
Yep.
And we heard, and simultaneously we heard about somebody being brought in to advise Arthur Blank and whoever else. Because look, Rich McKay obviously wasn't in that meeting because he's one of the first ones gone. But a lot of people also probably were ready to retire too under his umbrella. I'm just saying, I thought, like a lot of people, it was going to be general manager and some folks in some offices that we don't normally talk about.
Yeah.
And restructure.
Well, some of that could still be happening,
like
right?
That, yeah, it sounds like that's going to happen too. But it was just jarring to be like, woo, yeah, beat the Saints and got the four in a row and woo. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then, couple, yeah, everybody
two
got
hours
the
later, 2 hours later.
Whoa.
Yeah, right.
And I took a nap and then woke up and I was like, all the key cards deactivated? Whoa.
You know what I mean? And shout out to Mike Conte and what we did here in the 99 game, because we're in the middle of the Sunday night football game, and Mike Conte made an audible call, and we brought all of our folks on to discuss this change, which I thought was cool. I listened to it. I got on social media and said, hey, folks, we're discussing it now, 92.9 The Game, and told people to come over and check it out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because that's what we did last Sunday night in response to it. But I think what the telling thing was from the press conference this week with Arthur Blank. The very last thing he talked about was what surprised him from the people, the consultants and the people that came in to talk. And he talked about a lack of clarity of vision. That's what he surprised him, but that's kind of knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was surprised.
lack of clarity of vision. Where are you trying to go? What are you to do? And to me, that was like one of the last things stated in that press conference.
Yeah.
It was one of the lasting things for
well,
me.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Can't you understand that in that you have to unweave the spider web of what's going on at the quarterback position,
mm-hmm.
the money you are going to, you know, the free agents and the money you're going mm-hmm. to spend on that. So there's a number of things in play which would give you reason to make that statement. Well, we don't really know, because if we had a certain type of quarterback that's established with this team, with mm-hmm. Bijan and Kyle and all the other skill position weapons that this team has on offense,
yeah,
and you'd be able to say, well, we're going to continue doing this and we're going to work harder on our ground game or air game, whatever it is. But I think there's just – you start off with the head of the spear, and that's that quarterback position, and what are you going to do there? And unless you know what you got there, it's hard to articulate what the rest of the offense, therefore the team, is going to look like. Correct, or am I missing something?
Well, once again, that's going to impact who you get to take this job on as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we have a Harbaugh that's out there. And the last time this job was open, there was a Harbaugh that came here and didn't come for the second interview.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, went to a place that had an established quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, I mean, that's I'm just saying. That's
I get you. I don't know. I ain't feeling a certain way about John Harbaugh.
But I'm just saying that that's something that you don't have to worry about. That's a cloud as far as this job opening goes, because there's a question mark about the quarterback spot.
Young quarterback, you want John Harbaugh coaching him up? Let's say the decision's made to pull somebody out of college. Let's say Falcons make some trades and boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, they got a chance at Mendoza in Indiana.
No, that's not happening.
I know it's not going to happen, but I'm giving you an example of a young quarterback that this team feels like it could be their guy for the next 10 years.
The owner said he is the franchise quarterback. The owner in
Michael
the press conference, yes.
All right. Well,
he did say that.
He did say that.
But who do I want coaching that guy up?
There you go.
I don't know, but I think that mostly falls on the coordinator if you're not going to hire an offensive-minded head coach, and I think they're looking towards offensive-minded head coach.
And who's the GM that's going to get the other pieces? Again, there's still a lot of moving pieces here,
and I think announcing Matt Ryan was that's why that was the first domino, because he's going to be involved in all of that, in my opinion.
It is Sam and Greg. We are here on this Sunday morning, 11th day of January, and to maybe answer some of those questions or shine a light on what we are talking about specifically, Matt Ryan joined the station. David Archer came through the station yesterday, of course, being the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, and talked about this, and we're going to replay that interview that we had with David Archer coming up at 9 o'clock straight up. JR from JR Sports Brief is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour, but as we move into that top of the hour, we're going to turn things over to Mr. Crenshaw, let you know what's going on locally, and some other stuff we haven't even thought about yet. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.